First of all, I have to apologize. I didn't know till last night very late that I was going to talk about Baron today, so I didn't really have a chance to prepare too much. A few months ago, I came to the yeshiva one morning. And they said, the late enthusiast, Baron Lichtenstein, passed away. I couldn't believe it. I knew he wasn't well, but I didn't realize he was a chayla mesukan at all. I didn't realize at all. So they asked me if I could say divrei hesped. I couldn't say divrei hesped. You have to prepare something. I couldn't believe it. And I couldn't believe other people delivered hespedim like nothing. Like a person died 25 years ago. They're giving an analysis. How can you talk? The person just died and you deliver hesped so calmly. I couldn't understand it. So, what I'll say today is miktsas min hamiktsas. I really should give it more time and maybe publish something. Maybe give a talk at some later time after preparing. So, deliver a talk a little bit. When I was a Talmud in the yeshiva, the practice in yeshiva was that the boys didn't wear their tzitzis out. So Baron, I entered Rav Soloveitchik Shia, and Rav Baron Lichtenstein said the Chazor Shia. He was there in the Shia. He said the Chazor Shia. In the middle of the Shia, Rav Soloveitchik would always quote a Gemara here, Gemara. The Shia used to be in Yiddish at that time, switched to English later. And Rav Soloveitchik would say, he said, Gemara na bayit zara, velcha daf Aaron. Aaron would sit right next to him. What daf? Aaron would say, daf lama gimel lama beis. The daf mem beis lama gimel. Whatever. You know, he would always say right away, what daf and what amud. He knew right away. So I saw this guy knew, he knew. Then we didn't wear the tzitzis out. Aaron wore his tzitzis out around his belt. Maybe that's what they did in Chaim Berlin. He came from Chaim Berlin. So I always looked up to Rabbi Aaron. He's the Elter Rabacher. He was successful in learning. So whoever wants to succeed in learning has to do like him. So I used to go with my tzitzis around my belt. The Beis Medrash at that time didn't have so many swords. Now they have 30 shas and the 30 sets of the Ramden. If you wanted a pcheres, you could spend a half an hour looking for a Gemara pcheres. They didn't have all of the volumes of the shas available. Our Baron had on his desk all the time, and why you there were no shtenders, there were always desks. He always had on his table the small 4-volume shas and the 2-volume Rambam. He always had everything. Whenever Tosis quotes a Gemara, he would always look it up. Rav Soloveitchik would call on the students to read the Gemara, and they read the Tosis, so the student would read Tosis says Akasha from another Gemara. Rav Soloveitchik would say, did you look up the other Gemara? Guy says no. He took Tosis. How can you take Tosis' word for it? Rav Soloveitchik got angry. You go to university, that's the first thing they teach you. Don't take anybody's word for everything. Check everything up. So Rabbi Lichtenstein always just looked everything up. So you had to have the whole shas and the Rambam on his desk all the time. Now, in YU, Mr. Mahir also, every table has at least one set of the shas and the Rambam. But at that time, he was the only one. He had this influence on all of us. Rabbi used to say the Chazor Shia, Rabbi Soloveitchik. Soloveitchik used to come in, he just said his shir on Tuesday and Wednesday mornings. That was it. Now Rabbi would give a few days later, I forgot whether the end of the week or beginning of the next week, I forgot already when, is to give the Chazor Shia. So the first couple of months, I think, Baron used to say all the things that Rav Soloveitchik said, the same Shia, but he would broaden it out. The Chazor Shia supposedly was for the weaker students who didn't understand Rav Soloveitchik's Shia, that he would make it easier. He used to make it harder. He used to broaden out, explain more what Rav Soloveitchik said. He would quote more Gemaras and more Rambams and say over what the Rav said on all the other Gemaras and the other Rambams. So the better students used to attend. The weaker students didn't go to the Chazor Shia. It would just make problems bigger, make bigger problems for them. So the first couple of months I was wondering, why is he the Rosh Hashiva and he says the Chazara? He should say the Shia and he should say the Chazara. This guy was saying over with a whole hekev. Rav Soloveitchik said a little part. Rav Baron would say over the whole part because he heard it already from Rav Soloveitchik. He was the Elter Rabacha that we all looked up to. If you want to be successful in life, you got to do like him. So I remember I used to learn Macharusa with a boy, Herbie Miller, Hanach Miller. He's in Columbus, Ohio now. He used to live in Boston. So he once told me, I used to learn with him before I entered Rav Soloveitchik Shir, before I knew Rav Baran. So he told me that Rav Baran Lichtenstein used to write over the shiurim that he heard from Rav Soloveitchik on Matzoi Shabbos. So I was wondering to myself, why did he write on Matzoi Shabbos? He was on Tuesday and Wednesday. Why did he write to Matzoi Shabbos? He must have had a good reason. So I decided, because a lot of times Rav Soloveitchik would work out the shiur. He knew in the general direction that he was going. He started the shiur. He used to have notes also. But a lot of the details he would work out in the middle of the shiur. So sometimes he would back out at the end of the shiur. What he said at the beginning of the shiur, he would touch it up, redefine it. Sometimes he would back out on Wednesday from what he said on Tuesday, polish it up a little bit. So I said, that's a good idea. You write the shiur Matzoi Shabbos, so you mull everything up, you think it over in your mind, and you reorganize everything. So that's why people have my notes, and they have notes from other people who wrote the shiur, who wrote the notes b'shas the shiur. Totally different. It's the same maskana, but totally different. Because the others wrote the way the Rav said, blow by blow. He said this, said that, said that. I would put the things that he said last first. I would reorganize everything because I thought that's what Rav Baran did. If you want to be successful in learning, you have to do it. I was doing this for years till I found out, no, when Aaron Lichtenstein stayed by Herbie Millen in Boston and he learned by Rav Soloveitchik on Shabbos afternoon, so he wrote the notes on Matzoi Shabbos. But I was so used to it already because I thought that's what Rav Baran did, so that's what I did also, even after I found out that it was a misunderstanding. That's the way to be successful, if you do like Rav Baran. At that time it wasn't common to learn Shulchan Aruch. Now a lot of people have to say, learn Mishnah Berurah. Then I don't even know if there was one set of Mishnah Berurahs in YU. Now you have 25 sets and everybody's Medrash. Then it wasn't so bad. I didn't have a Mishnah Berurah until 6 years after I was married. My wife bought me a birthday present. She got me a Mishnah Berurah because her father had a Mishnah Berurah. My father never had a Mishnah Berurah. But my father, when you had a Shaila, you looked in the Shulchan Aruch and the Magen Avraham and the Machtzah Shekel and the Pri Megadim. We didn't have a Mishnah Berurah. So at that time, it wasn't common to learn. And those who went for Smicha learned Yerudei Chelek Aleph. We didn't learn Shulchan Aruch. Now it's much more common that people learning yeshivas learn Shulchan Aruch. So I remember when Rav Baran moved from one apartment to the other, Fort George Hill. So I remember he came to yeshiva on Shabbos and he told us Erev Shabbos he had to put up mezuzah, so he had a shaila. I think he said there was a porch, so the shaila was, does he put the mezuzah on the right side going out to the porch? I think the porch didn't have dalar al dalar, it wasn't mekurah for some reason or another. You don't put the mezuzah going out, the porch wasn't chay mezuzah. He came up with the chiddush, put the mezuzah coming in. You put the mezuzah on the left side going out because it's the right side coming in. So now there are a lot of people, they know that Rabbi Kivega says like that on the Shulchan Aruch. Then, who knew? We didn't know Shulchan Aruch. We didn't know Yerideya. Rabbi Baran didn't know Yerideya either. He knew from the Gemara, he knew the Dinim. So he came up with this Chiddush. Then he told us it was right before Shabbos and he called Rabbi Soloveitchik. Rabbi Soloveitchik was masking with him. We didn't know. Rabbi Kivega has like that. The Bin Yitzin had many Achranim say like that. He used to say Chiddushim Lahalocha. He said many Chiddushim Halocha Lamaisa. The point today, I'm at a loss to remember, but he used to say Chiddushim Halacha L'Maaseh that were very oizgehalten. I remember he instilled within us, I would have never known this in a million years. He told us there's a Sefer Be'er Sheva. I know the Sefer existed, but I never looked in it. Magen Avraham quotes the Be'er Sheva all the time. So at the end of the Be'er Sheva, there's a section that's called Esrim Geira, I think. I think he has 20 practices that people do that he's not happy about. He thinks they're not right. So one of them is, I think this is what Rav Baran told us, one of them is that people have a minyan that you're not allowed to eat before you daven Ma'ariv, but if you have a minyan kavua, you can rely on that. So the Be'er Sheva is not happy with that. So he instilled within us, we shouldn't rely on that kulam. I don't know what they do here in the yeshiva.
Some changes in summer and winter, depending on
how it is. I seem to remember, in all the yeshivas, they rely, they eat supper before Ma'ariv. They rely late. I seem to remember here, they used to daven Ma'ariv early, before supper. I remember that. He told us to be medaktik about that. I remember why this stands out right today, I don't know. In Moedim, when you daven Shmoneh Esrei, they say, Tzur Chayenu Mogein Yishenu Atohu L'dor V'don Teluchon Tzapeh Tehilo Sechon. Tovador Nagid Varlecho. Yeah. So the in all the Sidurim they have printed, they have a period. Period. Then it says, then you continue. The Habaran said he thinks that that's a mistake. He said the period should be period. Then the Dovador is the beginning of the next sentence. If I'm not mistaken, I think maybe my father showed me this later. When I asked my father showed me, I think Chechen of Rebbe has a siddur that's called Slusa d'Avram. So I think he points that out. Maybe Habaran saw it in Slusa d'Avram, I don't know. Barbaran said that was the din. We used to discuss not only learning, we used to discuss halacha lemaisa, all kinds of things in the base medrash. I don't know why punk that stands out in my mind, but that I remember on Shulchan Aruch it says that on a time of Tzibur you need shloisha, because when Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalo by Mochemes Midyan, he had armuchor tam chibar mizeh mizeh, he was standing to the right and to the left. So the Shulchan Aruch says that on a time of Tzibur, you have to have two people standing next to the Shliach Tzibur. Absolvech said you need a bezdin to be tovei of the Rebbeinu Shalom, that he has to take care of the Tzorchei Klal Yisrael. We have the Tzibur has a right to demand of the Rebbeinu Shalom. So we need a bezdin to demand he should take care of our needs. Whatever. So the Magen Avraham says, so the Mechaber quotes this in Hilchas Yom Kippur. So the Magen Avraham says, we only have people standing next to the Chazan by Kol Nidrei, because Some Rishonim hold that Kol Nidrei is a Torah and Dorm Lishaovar. And then he says, for Shachris, Myra, there is no Chazoras Hashatz. For Shachris and Musaf and Mincha, that Yidabin, not on a Tainus Tiba. So that's not a Tainus Dik Tvilo. Ne'ila is a Tvilo Shal Tainus. There you should have two people standing next to the Chazan. So the Mogar Avram says, but we keep their own Kodesh open the whole time, so everybody's standing. So you have a lot of people standing next to the Chazan. So we're yotze with that. We have two people standing next to the chazan for Kol Nidre for Hatoris Nedarim, and by Nila, that's it. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that more correct is you should have two people standing next to the chazan by Shachrit, by Chazoras Hashatz, by Shachrit, and by Musaf, and by Mincha as well. So remember, for years and years, Rav Baran would be in charge in the yeshiva. He would see to it. He would alternate different people. He would ask for volunteers who was going to stand next to the chazan. He would arrange in advance. For Shachris, for Musaf, for Mincha, for Nila. We didn't rely on the fact that everybody's standing anyway. And after he moved to Eretz Yisrael, we didn't do it anymore. No one took care of it. We haven't been doing it for many years already. But I remember he used to be in charge. I remember Avraham Lichtenstein's wedding was in Boston in a hotel. So I remember the wedding was postponed because Rav Soloveitchik took sick. Many have a minig, you never postpone a wedding even if someone's sick. So not everybody has that minig. So they postponed the wedding. And I seem to remember the Rav Lezer Silva was the Masada Kiddushin. I'm not sure. I think Rav Lezer Silva was at that time the president of the Agudas Habanim, and Rav Soloveitchik was close with him. I seem to remember he was Masada Kiddushin. I remember at the wedding, this is Stama humorous, when Chassan Kala went to the Yichud room, so the lock broke, so they couldn't get out. So the Eidim, they must have told the Eidim, after 8 minutes, Rav Soloveitchik said, Yichud 8 minutes. He said, after 8 minutes, knock on the door. So they knocked on the door and they walked away. They didn't come out. So the photographer started knocking on the door. So I think they were trying to scream, get us out of here, the door is locked. So they didn't hear. So they said, they sent Rav Soloveitchik. So he started to plead to them. They come. So they finally screamed, we can't get out. The door is locked. So they had to call somebody from the hotel, from the management, to get them out of the Yichud room. That was some silly zechronis, but also stands out in my mind. I remember one summer I was visiting in Eretz Yisrael. So we went to visit Rabban Lichtenstein. We had tea and cake one evening. It was the summertime, there were no shurim in the yeshiva. So Rabban said, in Chodesh Elul, when the yeshiva resumes, so I should feel free, I should call him up on the phone, and any day that I want, I should come and give a shir. It's so uncomfortable. I should call him up and say, I want to give a shir. So like a Taveh Befeh. So I didn't. So what happened was, all the other yeshivas, different yeshivas, they heard that I was here. So they called me up on the phone, they said, we're going to send a taxi at 10 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to come say a shiva on this topic at this time. Every yeshiva did. Rabban was a gentleman, so he didn't want to say like this. So it turns out, we went back on Chol HaMoed Sukkos. We were here for a few months, I think 3 months, went back Chol HaMoed Sukkos. So then Rabbi Tabori told me that on Simchas Torah they had hakafas in yeshiva. So Rabban said, we better have Herschel come and give a shiur because he's going to go back to America. So Tabori said, he went back already. He said, what do you mean he went back? He gave shiurim and all the yeshivas didn't give him my yeshiva. That's the way it turned out. So that was terrible, as if we don't get along. I loved him. I think he loved me too. So 2 summers later, we were in Eretz Yisrael again. So then Rabban called me up, and he said, there was a misunderstanding last time. They're going to send a taxi. They're going to pick me up at this time. Mincha is going to be this time. So it was also 3 o'clock maybe, right after Mincha. So I gave a shiur at that time about Eretz Lekim Adova by Gittin the Kiddush, and I have it written in my sefer. So right after Mincha, I was ready to walk up. So Rabban said, no, wait a minute, he has to introduce me. So I think at that time there were some American students in the yeshiva who thought that we didn't get along with each other. They thought that there was a difference in hashkafa or something. So he wanted to dispel that mistaken impression. So he said, no, he wants to give an introduction. So he gave an introduction. He didn't mention the fact that I learned in the Koilel under him. I was a Talmud of his. He didn't mention that. He says, we both learned by the Rav at the same time. Both learned, but he was the Rav's assistant. He gave the Chazor. I listened to the Chazor shiur. He didn't say that. He said, like, we're equals. He says, he danced at my wedding. I danced at his wedding. And we sang the way we'd be Adidas with each other. So I was so overwhelmed with emotion the way he was giving this whole long introduction before I spoke. So when I went up to give the shiur, I stood there. So I had the notes in my pocket. So I was so tzedreit by the introduction. So I started giving the shiur without taking out the notes. And then I was in the middle. I don't know why I was embarrassed to take the notes out of my pocket. So I was giving a whole shiur bal peh, as if I can always rattle off just like this. I had prepared everything. I remember Baron invited me once. He said, if I ever decide to move to Eretz Yisrael, I should consider giving a shiur in his yeshiva. I should please feel there's a place where I would like it. I remember I was once I give a shiur every Tuesday night for many years already, 35 years, in Queens. So one Tuesday night, one of the boys was driving me home in his Lexus. His car broke down. He was driving in the father's Lexus. At that time, there was a bunch of Ganovim who were stealing Lexuses and sending them to Africa to sell them for much more than it was worth. So we were going on the highway. This is written up in Israeli newspapers also. We were going on the highway, and all of a sudden a car starts backing up. So we slow down, and the car keeps on backing up. So the guy stopped driving the car. It was Avi Feder. Someone just mentioned regards from Avi Feder. Avi Feder was driving his father's Lexus. So the guy keeps on driving till he stops right in front of us. So two people jump out of the car, one from the right, one from the left. They had knives or something. And they stole the car. I was sitting in the front with Avi Feder. My daughter, one of my daughters at that time, was single. Now she lives in Rehovot. She has a lot of children. And a Talmud was sitting in the back. So they kicked all us, four of us, out of their car in the middle of the highway, and they stole the car. They went off with the car. So finally we were standing on the highway. So a policeman stopped. And he said, what are you doing on the highway? So we said, stole the car. So the policeman called ahead to the where you check out from the highway, you have to pay a toll. So they said, if there's a Lexus that goes by, stop them. So the Lexus went already. We found out later on that the police didn't want to make a scene because they wanted to catch the whole gang. So they were keeping tabs on a whole bunch of people who were stealing all the Lexuses. They didn't think they would actually kill anybody. And till they cracked the whole, they figured out the whole thing, and then they arrested all of them, and they gave back all the cars. This fellow Avi Feder, who was driving the car, used to work for his father. He used to go to Africa for business, for his father. So, the police, New York police, called him up on his cell phone in Africa. that they have his car and they're going to give it back. And then he told them that they're selling big cars in Africa. So he said, they have it here. He says, no, all the cars, all the stolen cars are all in New York. They'll give him back the car. Anyway, so I remember this was written up in Israeli newspapers also. So Baron sent me a letter. I have to look in the house somewhere. I probably have the letter. He sent me a letter. He read in the paper. He feels bad for me. I'm shaken up about that they stole the car. And so it wasn't my car, but being threatened, they threatened your life. So he said, he encourages me I should move to Eretz Yisrael, but I shouldn't move to Eretz Yisrael out of such feelings that it's so dangerous in Chutz La'aretz, I have to move to Eretz Yisrael, it should be safer. He said, yeah, but the main thing, I should move to Eretz Yisrael because that's the place we are supposed to be. Shouldn't go for negative reasons, I should go for positive reasons. I have to look where I have that letter. I feel embarrassed, these are such dvorim shel ma b'kach, and our Baron had a tremendous influence on all of us. Had a tremendous influence on all of us. I remember once in Shir, Rav Soloveitchik always used to read the Yiddish newspaper. So they wrote in the Yiddish newspaper that the conservative Vada Rabbanim are kipaskin that you're allowed to drink Welch's grape juice because it's Yai Mavushal. Yai Mavushal, the Gemara says there's no Iser Yai Nakum. So he said, that's ridiculous. Does anybody know why? So none of us knew anything. How are we going to know why? So he saw that Byron was smiling. So he said, you tell him why. So he said, no, there are two reasons for Stam Yenim. If the wine is produced by a non-Jew, so you're not allowed to drink it because of chasnus. It may lead to intermarriage. You may decide to marry the daughter of the manufacturer of the wine, and you'll have a life supply of this delicious wine. So if the wine is processed by non-Jews, it's also because of chasnus. Then there's another gzeira, a secondary gzeira. If you have kosher Jewish wine and it's handled by a non-Jew, I'm not going to marry his daughter because I like the wine. I'll marry Mr. Carmel's daughter. I'm not going to marry the goy's daughter because he's the waiter. He pours the wine. So that's prohibited because of Shasha of Nisaf. Maybe he was Manasseh Chlavoy. So if the wine is Yayim Avushal, since we don't use Yayim Avushal, Agavni HaMizbeach, so nobody Avodah Zarah didn't use it to be Manasseh Chlavoy either. So that gzeira doesn't apply. But if the wine is processed by Welch, So what does it help that it's Yayim Avushal? But it's a chashash because of chasnus. So the Rav said, of course, anybody who knows Masechus Avodah Zarah knows what a joke it was. I really feel it's such an incomplete presentation. Let me just say over at Dvar Torah. We heard so much Torah. I think 2 years ago the yeshiva was learning Gittin here in the yeshiva. I think last year they learned Kiddus. 4 years ago. So when I learned Gittin, so I came, and then after Mincha I walked up to Rabbi and I told him, I'm going to say over this afternoon the Chabur that you said. I told him which Chabur he said, and the girl, I didn't understand what he said. So I said, I didn't understand. He said it two or three times, I didn't chap what he said. He said, such beautiful Chabur, as he used to say, such beautiful Torah. So let me just say over one Dvar Torah that he said in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. Today's Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara has a din that if a person forgot Yalav Yovoi in Shachris, you have to daven over. Shachris and Mincha, you have to know. If you forgot Yalav Yovoi in Ma'ariv, in Ma'ariv, you know, so because I'm a Kachan, so I'm a Balayla. If you forgot Yalav Yovoi in Shachris, you have to daven over. But if the Shliach Tzibah forgot Yalav Yovoi and Shachris, he doesn't have to repeat. Shliach Tzibah forgot Yalav Yovoi and the Chazaras HaShatz and Shachris, he doesn't have to repeat Shachris. So usually people will scream out, bang on the shtenders. They didn't bang, he hard of hearing. He just finished the whole Shachris and he forgot to say Yalav Yovoi. So the Gemara says he can rely on Musaf. Shem Tichad Tzibur can rely on Musaf. So the Magen Avraham quotes a machlokes achronim. What if a yochid b'diyeved? A yochid daven shachris and he forgot Yalav Yovoi, and then he goes. He's supposed to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei Shachris. He forgot, and he says Musaf already. So he already said Musaf. So does he still have to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei Shachris or not? So there's two opinions in achronim. I think the Shilta Gidborim, if I'm not mistaken, thinks lahokel. But the Shliach Tzibur, because of Tichud Tzibur, we say Shas HaTchakir Yevid Dami. The din is B'di Yevid, if a Yochid Forgot Yalav Yavid, then he daven Musaf at Rosh Chodesh. He mentioned Rosh Chodesh in that Zman Tefillah. So he's Yotze B'di Yavid, but L'chatchila should really repeat Shachris by the Shlech Tzimam, Shem B'tzibura, we declare Shas HaTakad Yavidam, he's allowed to do L'chatchila, but normally he's only permissible B'di Yavid. So Rab Chaim thought, I think probably says in Mishnah Berurah like that, Sofik Brachas L'Hokel, that we would assume like that B'di Yavid. If the Yochid daven Shachris and forgot Yalav Yavid, and he already daven Musaf, we would tell him he doesn't have to daven over again. So B'di Yavid is Yotze if he daven Musaf, so Rab Chaim asks, so why does he have to daven over Shachris? Let him daven Musaf and be Yotze. So what is that based on? Mean that you're Yotze Shachris, even if you forget Yalav Yavid, that's a Dion. One daven Shachris forgot Yalav Yavid, is not Yotze Tefillah? Oh no, he's Yotze Tefillah. He didn't mention Haskoras Kedusha Sayyid. So what we're saying is basically, he is Yotze the Tefillah. He is Yotze the Tefillah, just not Yotze Haskoras Kedusha Sayyid. The Tosis has the two days. If a person daven mincha on Rosh Chodesh, if he got Yalav Yavai, then Balailo is already no longer Rosh Chodesh. So do you say he wasn't Yotze Mincha? He wasn't Yotze Mincha at all, so he has to daven the Tefillah Tashlumin. But he's saying, no, Mayar Viach, what's he going to gain? He already daven Mincha. He said the whole Shemoneh Esrei just didn't say Yalav Yavai. When he davens Ma'ariv, it's not Rosh Chodesh anymore, so he's going to second Shemoneh Esrei without Yalav Yavai. That's what he said for Mincha. He's not going to gain anything. So those are the in the yeshivas they say those are the two opinions in Tosfos. If a person says Shemoneh Esrei, he forgot to say Yalav Yavai, is the pshat he's not Yotze the Tefillah? No, he's Yotze the Tefillah. It wasn't Yotze the Chavis Haskoras Kedushas Hayom. So Rav Chaim said from the fact that we paskin like this Shulti Giborim, that if the Yochid daven Shachar he forgot Yalav Yavai, and then he davens Musav, so he's Yotze b'Yavai. It means if he plans to daven Musav bizman Shachris. Not he's going to daven Musaf the first hour after Chatzos. He can daven Musaf till the end of Shor Shviyas. So if he plans to daven Musaf when it's till the Zman of Shachris, he's going to mention Haskaras Kedushas Hayom in that time period of Shachris, so he'll be Yotze with that B'Yavid. So why do you tell him even L'chatchila he should daven over Shachris? He's going to have the Haskaras Kedushas Hayom. The Shachris he was Yotze, the Chavis Tefillah he was Yotze, Chavis Haskaras Kedushas Hayom, he'll be Yotze by davening Musaf. Why do you only say the Shliach Tzibur? Because of Tichud the Tzibur, Shas Hatchak B'di Yavid. You should let a Yochid also do it L'chatchila. Why is it only good B'di Yavid? So he said over there, Rav Soloveitchik said, B'shem Rav Chaim, in the days of the Gemara, there was a concept of Tfilas Nedova. You were permitted to volunteer a Tfilah. There are rules and regulations. When you daven, when you have a right to daven Tfilas Nedova. When there's a Torah. Okay. So, true B'di Yavid, if you'll daven Musaf and you'll mention Haskaras Kedushas Hayom, everything will be fine. But L'chatchila, the Chachamim said, daven over Shachris as a Tfilas Nedova. You're Yotze Shachris already. Daven Shachris the second time, Torah's Tfilas Nedova. And mention, more correct was he supposed to say the Alav Yavah in the Shachris. Shouldn't just, that was the way they were Chachamim were mistaken it like that. It's like Mabeh Shetova Chachamim. Is to say the Haskaras Kedushas Hayom in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei Shachris. So daven a second Shemoneh Esrei Shachris as a Tefillas Nedova, and then daven Musaf later. So then Rab Chaim added on, if that's the pshat, so Bizman Hazeh and Shulchan Aruch, they recommend that no one should daven Tefillas Nedova, because we have difficulty being mechaven when we daven, so it doesn't make sense. It's bad enough we daven all the Tefillas with poor kavana. So we're going to add on a Tfilas Nedova with poor kavana. So Rav Chaim said that since Bizman Hazeh, we don't recommend anyone should daven Tfilas Nedova, so Bizman Hazeh should be L'chatchila like that. That if a Yochid forgot to say Yalav Yavai in Shachris, we should tell him, do not daven over, do not repeat the Shemoneh Esrei. Rely L'chatchila on the Musaf. That was very fascinating. Halach L'mayz. Then it should come out also. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to offer Tfilas Nedova. So let's say Rosh Chodesh Chol is B'Shabbos. If a person forgot Yalav Yavai and Shachris, Mikra Adin, it should say somewhere in Shulchan, Mikra Adin, you say he's not allowed to daven over Shachris. He has to rely on the Musaf, because he's not allowed to offer Tfilas Nedova. Because the Shemoneh Esrei Shachris, he was Yotze already when he davened the first Shemoneh Esrei. This is one of many, many, today happens to be Rosh Chodesh, so that came to mind the first thing. This is one of many, many Shiurim that Rav Aaron said over. B'shem Rab Soloveitchik, B'shem Rab Chaim. As I said, the first couple months, I was wondering, why is he giving the shiur and he says the Chazara? He should give the shiur. And Rav Soloveitchik should give the Chazara shiur. It's a very incomplete presentation, but Pashut, I didn't have a chance. If I'll give it thought, I'm sure many more. Avaron had a tremendous influence on all of us in learning and in Hanhogas, a lot of Hanhogas. Okay. People wanted to ask other things. Maybe if you're asking questions, things will come to mind. My mind is blank now. But, tell you the truth, I don't remember. That was a long time ago. I think Rav Soloveitchik was not happy, because Rav Soloveitchik used to say for years before, way before this, before Abaron decided to go, he said anyone's in Chinuch HaRabbanus in America is not allowed to leave, because you're fighting assimilation and intermarriage, and the general is not allowed to leave the front, and the captain of the ship, the whole drasha that he gave. And I said, I used to laugh in my heart, was Hakta Chayne. Then I saw that's Rav Chaim Isaac quoted from the Tshuvas of the Maharam Sheik. The reaction I don't remember. It was a long time ago, Pasha, I don't remember.
You told us previously that you definitely adopted the Derech Limud of the Rav. Was that influenced by
Rav Aharon? I think Rav Aharon changed his style of presentation when he came to Eretz Yisrael, maybe before, I'm not sure, because when I used to listen to Chaburas of his in the Koilo, he was just like the Rav style of presentation. But he used to have broadened out, like Rav Soloveitchik once said, he's not like his father. Said, my father, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, would only give a shiur after he looked up all the related Gemaras. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik didn't give, Rav Soloveitchik used to give a shiur twice a week, every shiur was 2 hours long. Rav Moshe Soloveitchik gave a shiur once every week and a half, or half an hour, very brief. So Rav Soloveitchik said, his father would only give a shiur if he would work everything out, everything fit into place. Rav Soloveitchik said, I'm not like that. On that base, I say what I think is the best pshat. I get to Daf Yud Gimel, I say what I think is the best pshat. So a lot of times he wouldn't go back to that base. So he would leave loose ends hanging. He gave the best pshat on that base. They gave the best pshat on Daf Yud Gimel. And the Gemaras have to integrate together. So a lot of times, Baron always would be like a Rav Soloveitchik in that sense. He would try to, he would broaden out whatever Rav Soloveitchik said. He would quote what he said on other occasions to give a fuller picture of everything that's going on. So in the early years when I knew him, he used to say over the Rav star, and his own Torah was also very similar to the Rav star. Then I remember when he came back to Eretz Yisrael, every year he would come, he would give a shiur in the Kollel, whatever we were learning, he'd give a shiur on our topics. It was like a totally different style of presentation, very different. Very different. This wasn't, maybe he changed it in America also. I wasn't in a shiur in New York, but the it was a very different style. Very different from the way Rav Soloveitchik said. In the later years, it was very different.
We've heard about Rav Aharon's sensitivity. Can you think of any more specific stories that you saw or heard of that illustrated that?
My mind is blanking. I'm sure if I'll give it some thought, things will come back to mind. I don't remember. This morning I was mentioning to someone, I don't think I said it here yet. I remember Rav Aharon always used to be in Yeshiva on Purim. He would always stand during Mikra Megillah. What kind of shtick is that? What are you standing for? Mishnah says b'tzira karis hamigilo emid v'yoshev. The Rambam writes a chiddush that you have to, the balkari who leans b'tzibur has to tzin. You're not the balkari and you're listening and said b'ferish a mishnah he can tzin. So I always thought he was wrong. What's he doing this for? So a few years ago, maybe a few years ago, about 20, maybe 25 years ago, a group of students bought me a gift, Oitza Hagoinim. So I started flipping through the Oitza Hagoinim Amaseches Megillah. So they all say they had the meaning was to stand for Mikra Megillah. So I guess he must have gotten the Oitza Hagoinim before I got it. He must have seen it over there. I don't know, it's against the Mishnah, but I had a lot of kashas and Rav Soloveitchik also. What did he do this? What did he do that for? Then 40 years later, I realized, oh, that's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. that's what it says in the textbook. We used to wonder by Rav Soloveitchik, why does he do everything differently if everybody else does like this? Then we started learning Shulchan Aruch. That's what it says in the Shulchan Aruch. Everybody else does it not like the Shulchan Aruch. He always used to do like in Shulchan Aruch. Rav Aaron had a lot of hanhogas. You have to remember what they were. He used to have a lot of hanhogas. Halacha lemaisa, things that he worked out that were beautiful. What was the difference? I remember one year, one of the early years, maybe it was the first year when he came back from Eretz Yisrael. So we were learning the Dorim. So he said over a din, and then he said a chakir. He said A, B, C, or D, four possibilities. So one of the students in the kollel at that time was Shmuel Boylan. He's now one of the deans at the Turo, very strong in learning. So he shouted out right away, "How can it be C? It's a beferish gemara and daf mem zayin in the dorm that says X, Y, Z." So our baron said, "Give me a chance. Let me develop the theme." So he spoke and he spoke, and after an hour and three quarters. So Shmuel Boylan screams out, "Well, what about the Gemara in the Dorm Daf Mem Zayin?" So he said, "I don't know." So we're very disappointed. In the early years, he would never give a shiur like that. He would start with the Gemaras. He wouldn't start with Chakiris. Rav Soloveitchik didn't start with Chakiris. Soloveitchik started all the time with Gemaras, and then he would say, "Is the nature of the din is this as is?" That's a Rashi and Taisam Machlokes. He wouldn't clear a Chakira. A Chakira without an Afkamina was not a Chakira. I remember Rav Soloveitchik said, "My grandfather Rab Chaim never cleared Chakiris. He would learn up the Gemara." So Rashi apparently learns like this, Taisin learns like this. So when he would present the Shir, Rab Chaim would present to the Shir, would say, "He can clear a Chakiris at A or B, and this is the Machlokes Rashi and Taisin." That's what Rab Chaim writes in the Sefer. But it didn't start with Chakiris. He started with learning Pshat and the Rishonim. So we were surprised that Rabban changed his whole style. He starts with a Chakiris, and then there's a Gemara. He starts with the Gemaras. You don't start with the Chakiris. The students were very surprised. That wasn't the way we remembered him. That was for presentation purposes. He felt, I remember either the day of the Levaya, the day of the two after, he showed some video on YU, different people speaking. So there was a former Talmud of the yeshiva who's a dentist, a fancy dentistry or something. I think he spoke in Hebrew, it's in Israeli. And he said, Rabbarin changed his style of presentation. I think that's what he said, to show the Talmidim how they can develop a derech and learning. So he simplified everything, and he says he used Rabbarin's derech and learning to advance his understanding of dentistry. He felt that Rabbarin did it specifically to train the students how they should approach a Gemara. If he were just presenting his shiur, he would have presented it in a different way. He wanted to train the students that they should be Mechadish Torah. So that's why he developed his own new style. I don't know, but it was very different from what it used to be. When I was closer to him, his style shiur was very different.
Is there anything that you disagreed with Rav Wolfenstein, Hashkafic-wise?
I don't really think so. I'm not fully familiar. I never read there. I have a few. I think I have one or two svarim at home, Hashkofa. I'm embarrassed to say I never read them, but they're sitting in my bookcase. I don't think so. We both learned by Rav Soloveitchik. I read one of the rabbanim from Malei Adumim, interviewed Rav Baran a few weeks in a row, and he put out a whole book, Avakshei Fanecha, something. So I read that book, very interesting. A lot of things there are straight word-for-word quotations from Rav Soloveitchik. Here and there were things that I thought that I would have emphasized a little differently. Not that I'm disagreeing, it's a question of emphasis. I would have said the same thing, but placing emphasis on a different thing. I don't think so. I don't think we really had any disagreements on Hashkafa. It's really not fair. As I said, I just found out last night, and I didn't have. I really just prepared 20 minutes last night. It's not really right. There's a lot to learn.
Thank you very much for this. The emotion is more important than the stories and the powerful sense of the words as well. תודה, תודה רבה לכולם, ומודים מאוד על שפטו ששיתף אותנו בתחושות, לא בסיפורים, גם בתחושות ובחוויות שלו.